Okay, so in this week's parsha, in Vayikra, Parakeh, Halacha Pasuk Dalet, we speak about shvuos, oaths, and it says in the pasuk, he uses the phrase L'chol asher yivateh ha'adam b'shvua, that any expression, any way that a person would express something as an oath, and there's a juxtaposition of ha'adam b'shvua, which the Gemara has a drasha in Shavuos, Chafal Man Aleph, which is hard to quote, that Ha'adam Shavuah Parla Anas. There's a juxtaposition that the person who takes a Shavuah has to be an Adam, which means that he has to be about his wits, he has to be in control. So that excludes a person who's Anas, who's compelled, he's in a difficult situation, so he's not in control. And although the Gemara, as Rashi explains, seems to be talking about, perhaps he's talking about Shavuah that's taken about the past, but the Tartumah understands that he says that it could apply also in the case of a future. So let's say at the time of the Shavuah, he expects that he'll be able to do something. So he takes a Shavuah, he's going to do something. When the time comes, he's in a difficult situation, he's not able to fulfill his words. So he's on his, and therefore he's not violating the Shavuah. He's not responsible for it. So, excuse me, there's a discussion, the Tartumah quotes the words of the Ramah from Shulchan Aruch in Yerodea, Simon Reish Lamed Beis, Sif Yud Beis, where basically we're assuming that the Nedarim and Shavuos are equivalent for the purposes of the Shir. So it's in Hilchos Nedarim over there, where the Ramah says, he quotes B'Shem the Rivash, Shavuos Rivash, that if somebody's in a situation where there's a onus, where he's in a difficult situation, but in theory he can remove that that onus, he can remove that difficulty, he can get around it, but he would have to spend a lot of money to do so. So the Ramah quotes that one is not obligated to spend a lot of money to remove that onus, and he's still considered to be onus. In other words, if you're in a situation which makes it very difficult to be able to fulfill your words, and the only way around it would be to spend a lot of money, so you're still considered to be honest, you're still considered to be in a situation where you're not able to fulfill your words. And as the Torah Tumah quotes, the Bach, in his comments to the Torah, which came before the Shulchan Aruch, so the Bach there quotes this halacha of the Ramah, and he says he doesn't understand how the Ramah could say such a thing, and he points out that it seems to be against the Ramah himself, that the Ramah, in Or HaChaim, Tav Reish Nun Vav, where the halacha there is dealing with the davening minim and how much money you have to spend for a mitzvah. And in the discussion there, the Ramah says that we say that a person doesn't have to spend all of his money, let's say. He wouldn't have to spend all of his money to perform a mitzvah, let's say to buy davening minim, if he would have to spend all of his money in order to get it, so he doesn't have to buy davening minim. But in the Ramah, he says, but that's when we say that you don't have to spend all your money to perform a mitzvah, that's for a mitzvah say. But when it comes to not violating an isser, not violating a los say, then you have to spend however much money. It doesn't make a difference. So the Bach questions the Ramah in Hilchas Nedarim, how could you say that if you have to spend all of your money, then you're still considered honest, you don't have to fulfill your words. But there's an isser not to fulfill your words. So that's an isser, it's a los say. So based on what the Ramah writes in Or HaChaim, you have to spend all of your money to avoid violating a los asay. So to over here, to avoid violating a loyachal devaro, not fulfilling your words, you just have to spend all of your money. And the Torah Tumah says that the Taz has an answer for the Ramah, which the Torah Tumah thinks is very dachuk, it's very weak teretz. And so instead, the Torah Tumah goes in the other direction, and he says, in fact, he thinks that what the Ramah quotes in the name of Rivash, the way he understands, makes a lot of sense. Why? As he says, what's the Ramah quoting? Ramah is saying that when it comes to a situation of a neder shvuah, fulfilling your words, so if you are in a difficult situation and the only way out would be to spend a lot of money, you don't have to spend a lot of money, you're considered honest. So how does that work out with the Ramah in Or HaChaim? Hartzimim explains, what's the reason that there's a difference in Or HaChaim between an aseh and a los aseh? We say that you don't have to spend all of your money to perform an assay, but you do have to spend all of your money to avoid violating a los assay. What's the difference? The difference is, as the Mepharshim explained there, the Tartumah says, Asay is something which if you don't, if you're not doing it, so that means you're passively violating the mitzvah. You're passively not keeping this mitzvah. But when it comes to violating los asay, so you're actively violating los asay. So there's a difference of sheve al taaseh and kuvah asay. What's the difference? As Tartamim explains, when you are not doing a mitzvah asay, b'sheve al taaseh, so it's not so obvious that you're going against the words of Hashem. So it's not as bad. But when you're actively violating the words of Hashem, you're actively violating los asay, so that's a great chil Hashem, because it's obvious that you're going against the words of Hashem. Based on this, the Tartamim says, okay, lo yachod varo, might be a los asay, but how are you violating lo yachod varo? You're just sitting back and not fulfilling your words. You're sitting back and not keeping your oath. So it's a shavi al taaseh. So this type of los asay, the shavi al taaseh, when you're violating it in a passive manner, that's considered to be like an asay. And therefore, it would be subject to the other side of what the Rama says in Or HaChaim, that by a mitzvah asay, by something where the way you would violate it would be passive, that in such a situation, you don't have to spend all your money. Now, the truth is that the words of the Torah Tumma are very difficult. So, in order to understand in order to assess what he says about the Rivash, we have to consider what is the real position of the Rivash. The problem with the Torah Tumma is there is an explicit Rivash in Siman Shin Pei Zayin, which is quoted in the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef has a whole discussion where he brings this Rivash, and the Rivash clearly says that even if you have to spend a lot of money and it's very difficult and it's very painful for someone to have to spend all of his money, it doesn't make a difference. You always have to keep your word, you have to keep your Shvuah, and if you can only do so by spending a lot of money, then you have to do that. You have to spend all your money in order to keep your words. And that's what the Beis Yosef quotes in Siman, in the same Siman Reish Lamed Beis, in his comments to the Torah. He quotes this Rivash from Siman Shin Pei Zayin. Now, on the page of the Torah, Darkei Moshe doesn't quote that Rivash, but as we know, the Darkei Moshe really wrote a commentary to the Torah, which is now known as, let's say, Darkei Moshe Arach. He had long pieces that he wrote, and the printers came along and they realized that the Rama in the Darkei Moshe, he's quoting a lot from the Beis Yosef. So they figured, okay, we're just going to take out the few lines that the Rama is adding to the Beis Yosef's discussion, and we'll put that onto the page of the Torah. Together, we're having the Torah, the Beis Yosef. We'll put down the few lines of the Darkei Moshe, which he's adding to the Beis Yosef's discussion. So, on our page of the Shulchan Aruch, of the Torah, rather, we have what's called, let's say now, the Darkei Moshe HaKatzer. So that's the Darkei Moshe on the page. And you don't always know what the Darkei Moshe quoted from the Beis Yosef or not. He doesn't always quote every Beis Yosef, but we have, in the newer editions of the Torah, they have a full Darkei Moshe Aruch in the back. And if you look at Darkei Moshe Aruch, he quotes this same discussion of the Beis Yosef and the Rivash in Siman Shin Pei Zayin. So the Darkei Moshe is fully aware that this is the Rivash's position. So how do we understand what the Rama is quoting Shulchan Aruch from the Rivash, which seems to say that you don't have to spend all your money in order to keep your Shvuah, and you're considered to be honest in such a situation? So if you look in that Darkei Moshe Aruch, right after quoting that Rivash in Siman Shin Pei Zayin, he goes on to say, Amnam Kasub Shiva Simon Saites Dim Ira Lechad Ones Afo P Shiyakhalafis Mama Nafilahiava Ones, that he quotes from the Rivash Simon Saites, that if someone would be in a difficult situation of an Ones, where he could get out of it if he would appease the other person with a lot of money, he's still considered to be an Ones. And this is the addition that the Beis Yosef didn't have. That therefore, this line is actually found on the page of the Torah in the Darkei Moshe HaKatzer as well. So this is what the Darkei Moshe quotes from the Rivash. But wouldn't it be a steer in the Rivash? Now it's a contradiction. The Rivash, on one hand, seems to say that you don't have to spend all of your that you have to spend all of your money to fulfill your words, and on the other hand, Simon Saites, which the Darkei Moshe is quoting, he seems to say that you don't have to do that. So if you look at the Simon in Saites in the Rivash, it becomes clear that in the context of that siman, what the Rivash is saying, the way he explains the kula is that we're in a situation where we explain that the person, when he made the shua, at the time that he made the neder, he never had in mind that he would have to go that far. He never had in mind that he would have to do something more than what would normally be expected. So in such a situation, he's talking not, he's not exactly talking about spending money necessarily, but in that situation, Rivash says that if the person does whatever is normally expected, but benaga olam, and it doesn't help, and he's still in a situation where it's where he's not able to fulfill his words, so he doesn't have to do more than that. He doesn't have to go beyond what would be what would have been expected for him to do in a normal situation, because to have to do more than that was not something that she had in mind from the outset, and therefore it's not part of it's not the shua is not binding to that extent. So that's the way the Rivash explains it in the tshuva itself. According to this, we now understand that when the Ramah is quoting this line from the Rivash, he must mean the same type of situation where we're talking, where a person never had in mind that he should have to spend so much money to fulfill his words. So maybe if he can spend a little bit of money and get around the onus, fine. But if he's going to have to go so far that he would have to spend a lot of money in order to fulfill his words, and that was not what he had in mind when he originally took on himself this responsibility, the Shvuah, so in such a situation, he doesn't have to spend so much money. And in fact, this is the way that Taz in Shulchan Aruch explains the words of the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch, as well as the Shach, who he also quotes the same explanation. He uses the same explanation to explain the words of the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch. And both of them say that based on this understanding of the Ramah, there's no question of the Bach. The Bach thought that there was a contradiction between what the Ramah writes in Hilchos Nedarim, where he quotes from the Rivash, you don't have to spend all of your money to fulfill your words, but it seems to go against what the Ramah writes in Aruch Chaim, that to avoid a los haseh, you have to spend all of your money. So it's not a stira, because over here, you're not violating lo yachal devaro. His words were, his intent at the time when he obligated himself, was that he shouldn't have to spend so much money. So if he's in a situation where it's going to come to spending so much money, then he's not obligated. And this is a fact with the Taz writes. So coming back, the Tartarim is difficult, because he says that the answer to the Taz, is weak, but as we explained by going back in the original sources, in the Darkei Moshe, in the Ramah's comments to the Torah itself, the way he quotes the halacha of the Rivash from Simin Shim Hizayin and Simin Saites, it's clear that the Taz has the correct shot in the Ramah, otherwise there would be a stira in the words of the Rivash. So that's clearly what the Ramah means. And on the flip side, for the Tar Tamima to suggest that the answer for the Rivash is that really the Rivash does hold that you don't have to spend all your money, and he comes up with a whole explanation, so that's clearly not the halachic position of the Rivash. So the Tar Tamima is difficult in that way. But I'll add one more point. The actual shot that the Tar Tamima says for the Rivash is also difficult. Why? Because what does the Tar Tamima suggest? He says that if we go into what the Ramah writes in Aruch Chaim, Tashvarish Nenvav, he says that you don't have to spend all of your money to perform mitzvah seh, but you have to spend all of your money to avoid violating a losa seh. And as the Tartum explains, based on what some people write, and the Pimur Gadim also says this chilek, that the difference between aseh and losa seh there is the difference between a violation bekumva seh and a violation b'shavat haseh. In other words, if the way you're going to violate the mitzvah is passive, so then you don't have to spend all of your money. But when you violate this mitzvah, you're violating it in an active manner, then you would have to spend all of your money. So that was the pshat that the Tartum suggested to explain how the Ramah would get out of this. The Ramah, who in Hilchos Nedarim is based on the Rivash. But if you look at the Rivash, the same tshuva in Simin Shin Pei Zayin, the Rivash clearly writes explicitly, he says, maybe someone will say that when it comes to a shvua, the way he's violating this Isra lo yachal devaro is a passive thing, and therefore he shouldn't have to spend all of his money. So he says, we don't say that, because a los haseh is always more chomer than an haseh. And don't tell me a los haseh that's lav she'ein b'maisa, when you're violating this los haseh, if there's no active way to violate it, if it's not there's no maisa involved, then it's considered to be like an haseh. He says, we don't say such a thing. And the Rabbi Kiva Eger in Simon Kufnun Zayin in Yerodea, he there quotes from the Chuvas Chavas Yar, who says, similar to the Prima Gadim, that the difference between the chilek of aseh and los haseh about spending all of your money to avoid violating a los haseh, while you don't have to spend all of your money to perform an haseh, is really a difference between a violation of kumva haseh and a violation of shaviat haseh. That's what the Chavas Yar suggests. Riki Vigor says, yeah, but if you look at the Rivash, he clearly writes that we don't say that pshat. So the Tartum was difficult for two reasons. A, we show that he obviously has the halachic position of the Rivash wrong, and what the Ramah writes in Hilchos Nedarim b'shem the Rivash is clearly like what the Taz and the Shach explain, and not like what the Torah Tumimah suggests. And secondly, the actual alternative shot that the Torah Tumimah suggests is exactly against what the Rivash writes explicitly. The Rivash clearly writes that you can't say such a pshat. So I don't know what to do with the Torah Tumimah. Maybe he didn't see the Rivash inside, but it would seem that this Torah Tumimah is difficult to accept. Thank you.